सपने सलामत दोस्तों, वेलकम टू जींस टी शर्ट एंड टाई, द ओनली देसी टॉक शो ऑफ इट्स काइंड एनीवेयर इन द होल वर्ल्ड। हैव यू एवर ड्रीम्ड अबाउट स्टार्टिंग अ बिजनेस? देन दिस शो इज डेडिकेटेड टू यू एंड फॉर यू। द शो इज फॉर एंटरप्रेन्योर्स, ड्रीमर्स, इन्वेस्टर्स, टेकीज एंड नॉन टेकीज, एनीवन एंड एवरीवन दैट हैज अ ड्रीम।
Our host, Rohit Chandra, himself has started several companies in Silicon Valley, raised millions of dollars in equity financing, and has inventions that are currently being used by hundreds of millions of users on the web.
Welcome. My name is Rohit Chandra, and I am the founder of a micro-information service on the web called Rohit.com, a service that I hope will one day transform the way you use the web. Yes, it's called Rohit.com. Tune in to KLOK 1170 every Saturday at noon, and we'll talk about everything it takes to build a company. Idea, recruiting, incorporation, market, bootstrapping, venture capital, intellectual property, and more. Tech businesses and non-tech businesses. We'll hear stories from people like you and me who have done this successfully. Call in and ask specific questions or generic questions and engage in a stimulating discussion about building a company. Sunna na bhuliye, har Saturday, dopahar 12 baje. Every Saturday at 12 noon. Itna sahab.
बस इतना सा ख्वाब है, बस इतना सा ख्वाब है।
सपने सलामत दोस्तों, वेलकम बैक। इट इज सैटरडे, इट इज नून, एंड इट इज टाइम फॉर अनदर एपिसोड ऑफ सपने सलामत। टाइम टू स्टार्ट लिविंग आउट दोज ड्रीम्स। सो दिस इज अ शो दैट्स डेडिकेटेड टू एनीवन विद अ ड्रीम। दिस इज अ शो फॉर एंटरप्रेन्योर्स, फॉर ड्रीमर्स, फॉर इन्वेस्टर्स, टेक्निकल पीपल एंड नॉन टेक्निकल पीपल, एनीवन एंड एवरीवन दैट हैज अ ड्रीम। एज यू नो बाय नाउ, वी आर ऑन एवरी सैटरडे एट नून, एंड दिस इज अ नॉन कमर्शियल शो विद अ सिंगुलर गोल टू प्रमोट एंटरप्रेन्योरशिप एंड हेल्प यू रियलाइज योर ड्रीम्स। So sort of think of this show as a helpline for startups for the largest portion. And what we are trying to do typically is talk about what we can do for startups. So oftentimes we get questions about how do I build a company? How do I do a presentation? How do I create an executive summary? And I get a lot of mentoring requests. So what I'm going to try to do in today's show is actually talk about how to create an executive summary, which is for those of you that are wondering even like what is an executive summary, that's your simple one-page document that you will go to introduce your company to somebody that's never heard of your company and doesn't know what it is that you're looking to do. And we'll talk about what are the various kinds of things that need to go in there, what are the things that I look for in those, and what are the things that other people look for in those, and what's a quick way to put one together that'll quickly summarize. So it's almost like talking about a one-page bio data for your company. And with us in the studios today, we have Seema.
Hi, Rohit.
Welcome to the show, Seema. Thank you for coming out. So Seema is going to be your voice in the studios today, and she's going to be talking about her understanding of an executive summary and how she's going to go build an executive summary and what are the various components to try to understand it from that perspective.
Thank you so much, Rohit. It's great to be on Sapne Salamat. And I think I love the name because Sapne Dekhna Aasaan Hai. और जोश हो तो सपनों को आकार देना भी आसान है, लेकिन सपनों को सलामत रखना वो बेहद मुश्किल काम है। तो निहायत ही ज़रूरी है उनको दिशा देना। एंड आई थिंक अनलेस एंड अंटिल यू हैव चार्टर्ड अ ब्लूप्रिंट समवेयर, इट रियली गेट्स टफ टू सस्टेन। सो इट इज़ एसेंशियल टू गेट स्टार्टेड द राइट वे, एंड आई थिंक दैट्स वॉट वी वॉन्ट टू नो फ्रॉम यू टूडे। एज यू सेड, गेटिंग स्टार्टेड द executive summary is kind of the beginnings, one of the very beginning steps.
Absolutely, it is one of the earliest steps, if not even the earliest step. And in fact, what I'd like to talk about today is the executive summary and also your PowerPoint presentation, which will sort of both will dovetail into each other to help you go out and present your company.
So what do you think are the very basic essential steps that would be needed, like, or like the quick bullet points that we would need to keep in mind?
Sure. So I think in an executive summary, as I said, is a one-page bio data on the company. And the first thing that I would like to see, and I think a lot of people like to see, is a quick snapshot of where the company is right now. Which means even in the one page, if I can in 5 seconds look at something, or 10 seconds look at something and decide, is this something that's of interest to me, or is this something that I'll look at later, or is this something that is not even of interest to me? So that's what I'm going to call the current status bullet, if you will. And there you want to quickly talk about what is the current status of your company in terms of how many people you are, what your employee count is, what you're looking to do, where you're located, what industry you're in, and so on and so forth. So, and again, I say so on and so forth as if it's going to be a long laundry list, but typically this bullet number one would probably be less than 20 or 30, maybe 40 words, no more than that.
So when you're saying current status, you're assuming that already that company is launched.
Not
right?
necessarily, no. Current status would be saying at idea.
At idea, yeah. That's
or saying prototype ready. Or they'll say mock-ups ready, or they'll say product ready for launch. Or if you're depending upon how far along, you can say, okay, product deployed at 5 customer sites. Or you can say revenues of $500,000, or you'll say revenues of $20,000.
And what if that revenue is still to come? So where do you first start to get that revenue?
Then it will not come in there. Then your current status will be pre-revenue.
Okay.
So you have to figure out how you want to classify your company. Mm-hmm. But bottom line, it has to be a quick snapshot that any investor or anybody else that's looking at it will immediately know what stage the company is at and what industry the company is at.
And how would you classify your opportunity? Like, what is opportunity? I see when you make a sample, what exactly do you mean that you, while making the summary, you should specify what is an opportunity?
Sure. So let me quickly run through. I've actually written down a list of 8 or 9 or 10 things that need to be in an executive summary, and people can pick and choose in terms of what goes into there. So I'll quickly run down a list of that, and then we can go down and explore each one of those individually and talk about what all needs to go in there. Mm-hmm. So a typical executive summary, what I'd like to see is quick current status snapshot, little bit about the founders, little bit about the opportunity, a little bit about the market, a little bit about the solution or slash product, section on the demo, mock-up slash technology, and a section on the marketing strategy and why what you're doing is better, and then a section on the competitive landscape. Then there should be another section which has numbers, and numbers would be revenue projections, and the numbers could be funding sort, numbers could be use of proceeds. And of course, if it's a presentation, then at the end, I'd like for there to be a section or a closing slide where typically people would say thanks to say reactions slash feedback. If it's an executive summary, I would not expect to see that. So I know I went through a whole bunch of stuff very, very quickly.
But so let's go back to opportunity.
Sure, sure. So opportunity, I think, so the very first thing is when you're writing an exec, what I'll also do actually, Seema, I'll put a sample template up on our website. So folks that are listening in, that if they want to see a template of what an executive summary should look like, they'd be able to get that from our website. So I'll try and do that today after the show, or maybe over the weekend sometime after the show. So the opportunity is really where you're talking about what is the problem that you're looking to solve, where is the opportunity there. For example, you say that I'm looking to build the next search engine. So the opportunity is saying I'm building a search engine. Mm-hmm. Or the opportunity says I'm building a new radio station because there is no radio station that services the South Asian Indian market. And there is an opportunity because there's X 100,000 South Asians, Indians that live in the Silicon Valley. And the fact is nobody's built a radio station. So that's your opportunity right there.
Right. Okay. So basically it's kind of what service are you, need that your business...
Need. Not the service, but the need.
But the need.
To say, what is the need that you're fulfilling?
Right.
And so that's the first bullet that I would put into your executive summary, if you will. I will quickly chase that down with talking about the market, which I almost did in this half a sentence ago where I said there's X 100,000 South Asian Indians living. Because you want to quantify how big is the market that you're
So going. Is there an order that is necessary, or you kind of just, these are the things that your one-page executive summary should be answering. So there's opportunity, there's current status, and also you would want to then rope in where's the market?
Right, right. So I think there should be an order. There should always be a method to the madness. But the methods might vary.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, when I'm creating these, sometimes there might even be sections that I will skip out. For example, I talked about demo. In an executive summary, there will not be a demo. In an executive summary, there may or may not be mock-ups typically. We're talking one page. It's very, very difficult to put a mock-up in that one page.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, in the executive summary that I did for my own company, I was able to get a mock-up in there even in that one-page executive summary. But there will, if none of those are there, then you will have a section on technology or whatever you're building, which is your intellectual property or which is what is a particular thing.
So
that
by technology, do you mean the kind of things you would be needing for
no.
their business, or you are going to the needs you're going to fulfill at the receiver.
Neither. When you're talking about technology, we're talking about the product that you're building or the service that you are creating, which is your offering. And you're saying that, okay, I'm building a new radio station. So guess what? My radio station is going to have 50,000 watts. It's going to be an AM radio station. And this is my technology because I'm going to have a tower that's going to be, 300 feet tall. And I'm going to have a transmitter 50,000 watts. So that is my product.
That's what, yeah.
So
that should be talking about product. Why do you call it technology is my question. Because, if it's a gas station or it's a restaurant you're opening.
Absolutely.
So what would be the...
No, you make a good point. And I think the reason I call it technology is because I'm so far deep into technology that I keep use the think of product as technology as interchangeable. So to your point, yes, it's really a product section.
Okay. So in your marketing section is where you would be wanting to give the details as to who are your consumers and is that...
Well, I'll actually take a step back and say when I'm talking about them. So first of all, we did this whole section on the status. Then one of the sections that a lot of people will open with and a lot of people will close with is a section on the founding team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another very critical component where you talk about who the founders are, how many founders there are, who the principals are, who the advisors to the company are, who the investors to the company are, and who the employees are. So again, I just put in a lot of words that give a lot of thoughts, and it seems like, wow, how do you get all of this into one paragraph? Or you'll actually be able to get a lot of this into less than one paragraph. For example, I say founder, Rohit Chandra, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Team, I say 7 employees. Advisors, I'll say John Doerr. Advisors, Mike Moritz, okay? Employees, I'm going to say, we already said, employees team, you don't need both. We've already done one or the other. And then I could also say something like engagement or dedication. I'd say 7 full-time, 13 part-time.
Mm-hmm.
So, it takes more words to explain the idea, but fewer words to actually put it down. And this doesn't have to be fancy stuff because people that are typically reading an executive summary are smart people. They look at it and that's really what I want. I want the nuggets so that in the least amount of time I can look at this stuff and decide what to do with this, if anything to do.
And I also see a section on business model. So what do you think is going to be defining in that section?
Aha. Okay. So this is where business model is something which I will come to a lot later in the game because I think business model is something that I want to get to once I've bought into everything else. Again, I keep wanting to reiterate the point that this is really a one-page document that we're looking to create. So once we've talked about the founding team, we've talked about the opportunity, then we also want to talk more about the market. So like I was talking in this earlier example of the number of South Asians, we also want to talk about what are the shortcomings, which dovetails very nicely back into this whole opportunity section to say, that there is nobody else that's servicing this market. And that's also the time when you also want to talk a little bit about penetration or perhaps projected penetration to say that, 100,000 or a million South Asian Indians, how many can you realistically expect to reach? And I don't know what that number is going to be, but the guy who's writing this executive summary has to come up and say, I expect a penetration of 80% or I expect a penetration of 20%, where I can actually go out and touch 20% of these people with my new radio station, if you will. Does that make sense at all?
It makes sense, yes.
Okay.
But I was also wondering if in the marketing section, do you only talk about the existing or let's say there's already an existing market.
Right.
That's already a product is out there.
Absolutely. Which is typically what will happen is because people will come into a market. So that's exactly where you want to talk about. So take another example. You say I'm building a new search engine and you'll say market size, 1.2 billion users, which is the 1.2 billion users that are on the web. Penetration. You'll say, hey, guess what? Today, 60%, I don't know what the real numbers are. I haven't done that research, but I'm going to make it up on the fly. 70% of search is owned by Google. 20% is owned by Yahoo. 8% is owned by Bing. 3% is owned by everybody else. That's where you come in and say, guess what? This is 1.2 billion people. I'm coming in. I'm going to, even if I get a penetration of 1% or 2% or 10%. So that's where you will come in and say, in my first year, I'm going to get a penetration of 5%. What you would also do is, there's this whole concept, now I've picked up this example, so I'm going to run with this example. There's this whole concept of revenue per query, and that's how people measure how much money Google makes.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, to put it in simple layman's terms, every time you make a search, Google makes 30 cents. Okay,
that's
now, none of these are real numbers,
mm-hmm.
but these are example numbers, but there is associated numbers that work with this. So every time you do a search, Google makes 30 cents. Think of it like that. And the way that works is what they did was they said, okay, let's say there's 1 billion searches being done today and Google makes 200 billion in revenues in a year. So you divide that 200 billion by 365 and you come up with this number of 670 million and you said divide that by 1 billion queries that are being done today and you come up with saying this number, what I made up 30 cents. So that becomes your RPQ or revenue per query.
But that would be very, you know, it's an easier example
sure.
when it comes to search engine.
Sure.
When, if like, there's going to be different kind of products.
Yeah.
Are you also trying to say in that segment, you're going to say where you're different? Where yes. your product so, is going to be different?
Yes. So that's going to be coming up farther along. So right now we're still talking about the market segment. So we talked about a radio station and we created one example. I created an example of search engine. Pick any other product, service, technology, idea that you like. And we'll talk about how to you. We'll talk about your market.
Okay, how about a restaurant? How would that come up?
Sure.
Where they say, like, let's say, take an example of San Jose or Fremont, where they're already on one road, like, you know, 7 restaurants running.
Absolutely. Very good example, because it's really hard to do that. But there are still numbers out there where you say, what you're creating this restaurant in Sunnyvale. So you come up with a number saying, what is the population of Sunnyvale?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you say, this is the population of Sunnyvale. Then you project that out and look at the other competition out there. And you'll say, okay, there's 7 restaurants out here. You will go out and do some projections in terms of what their revenues are. Now, those numbers are available because when you're buying a restaurant, there are other restaurants that are on the market. When you go to the MLS where you buy a restaurant, they will tell you what the revenue is. So you may not know the exact revenue of restaurant A, B, C, D, and E, but you will have some idea to say what the number of what the gross revenues are.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, okay, so the market for these other 7 guys is, I'm going to again make up a number, 300,000 is what they're grossing a year. So you're going to say, guess what? In my first year, I'm going to gross 200,000, or you might say I'm going to gross 400,000. And that's when you're actually going to start talking about why, which sort of goes on to the next section that I want to talk about in the executive summary, which is your solution. And in my solution, so that's where you say, okay, my restaurant, but none of these guys is a Thai restaurant, I'm opening a Thai restaurant. And my restaurant is better than all of these guys because I'm going to price my thing better, my food is going to taste better, I'm going to create better ambiance, and I'm going to do all these different things that are going to distinguish me from the other guys. Okay, I guess I see a producer here signaling for a break, so we have to take a break and we'll come back and we'll continue talking. My name is Rohit Chandra and I have with me in the studio Seema. We're talking about how to create an executive summary for your new business.
Did you get my email?
Oh, on the project?
Yeah, you know the project that's due next Friday? I'm going to highlight the first 5 articles, Kathy's going to do the next 5, and can you get to the last 5?
Sounds good. I'll get on them. I'm going to do all my highlights in yellow, and can you use pink?
Yeah, then we can just combine all the highlights to create our final report.
Sure. Thanks, Ina. Will do.
Sharing your research has never been easier. Use Rohit.com. ROHIT.com.
Hey, Bibi, did you go through all those articles I sent you yesterday?
Itne sare kaam, ghar ka kaam karun, beti ka homework karun, kya kya karun, kab padun?
They were important articles. Some on the school, the company, the community. You need to go through those.
Those are such long articles. Don't send me anything unless you highlight it.
Highlight it?
Do you not know about Rohit? Use Rohit and highlight.
Oh, maaf kijiye bhai, main next time karta hun.
Rohit is a free, no sign up, no download web tool that allows you to highlight any part of any web page. ROHIT.com.
If you want me to read it, use Rohit.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners. Vinu Prashar has more than 20 years of experience in taxes, finance, and accounting for individuals and for businesses. Work with the best round the year for major life events, tax planning, and tax filing. Expect excellent service, quality, trust, and integrity, all at a good value. You can reach Vinu at 650-722-2021 or on the web at www.prasharcpa.com.
Vinu Prashar, CPA, is an accounting a tax professional and a member of AICPA and CalCPA.
Vinu Prashar, CPA for professionals and small business owners.
Hey, if you like the show you're hearing, make sure to tell your friends to tune in on Saturdays at noon. That's every Saturday on 1170 AM KLOK. In fact, you can even blog about this show. And please send out a company-wide email on your Dacey email alias about the show. Are you looking for a home to rent? Are you looking for a home to rent in Sacramento? Well, we have a completely remodeled, brand new, two-bedroom, split-level townhome that has central heat and air conditioning and is beautifully maintained. If you want to see it, call 916-674-2540 to schedule a time to see it. And now let's get back to our show, where our host is Rohit Chandra, a serial entrepreneur who himself has raised millions of dollars in equity financing, started several companies in Silicon Valley, and he's always looking for good people and good ideas. If you have a good idea that you're committed to, please do get in touch with him.
Sapne Salamat, welcome back, dosto. We are talking today about how to create an executive summary, how to create your PowerPoint presentation, which is really the bio data for your company. Phone number to the studios is 408-912-5565. So at this point, I think I'm going to take a couple of calls if you get some good quality calls in terms of how to create an executive summary. So Seema, continuing where we were.
You were talking about and guiding us like what should go into the column where you say your solution as to, I mean, how different you are. The product or the service will have to specify here how they are going to differentiate or where they can differentiate themselves.
Correct. So, and again, we can go back and we say that, you know, if you're a technology company, then you will talk about the differentiator saying that, hey, my chip is X percent faster, or my chip is so much smaller, or my chip has got this other particular thing about it that makes it faster. Or if you're a software company, you'll say, my solution is so much better because it takes less CPU, it costs less, it takes less manpower, does things better, faster. So any of those things. So that's where that will go in. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Yeah, hi. I have a very interesting question. Is that I've been trying to call you for a long time. Totally impossible.
Sapne Salamat, caller, what is your name?
Yeah, my name is Meena.
Meena, Sapne Salamat.
Yeah, hi, Sapne Salamat.
Thank you. Finally. If you've been trying to call for a long time, that's the protocol, but thank you for calling.
Yeah, sure. I've been hearing your show for a long time, and today I found it very interesting. And my major question was, like, you're talking about restaurants and other stuff, is if you want to run maybe a vitamin, industry here, maybe something to do with herbs and stuff in the Bay Area. So I was a little concerned about how you would go about it. I was a little... how would you raise the money for something like that if you wanted to come up with a franchise of small stores all over the Bay Area?
Well, that's a fairly open-ended question, Meena, so I'll try and take a stab at it as best as I can. But I think it's no different from any other franchise business when you talk about saying that you want to build this, because you'd go ahead and you go... First of all, I think a lot of us in the Valley have been spoiled by this notion of raising money and using other people's money to do things. And the reality is, especially when you talk about something like the franchise business, and if you go to somebody else to raise money, my gut instinct tells you that you'll have to be extremely lucky to be able to get any money, because all of these people are going to say, what is your track record? Why would I believe that you can do this? So so for a franchise business, first you have to have at least some locations that are profitable, that are working, that you have created yourself. And for that, you'd have to either put it in your own money, or you have to put in your friends and family money, which is basically people, you know, beg, borrow, steal kind of scenario. Once you've got one or two or three of these outlets going, then you have some credibility that you've built around yourself to say that I actually know this business and I actually can do this business successfully. At which point, you can then go out to a professional investor and say, look, this is my plan. This is how I want to scale this business. And this is what I've done so far with it. And this is what I'd like to do at the next stage and the next stage and the next stage.
Okay, I agree with you, Rohit, but you know what? What you're saying is very true, because I already have a business of my own. I was asking this because I run a nonprofit for abused women, and my basic question really was, is that you want a woman to start a business, right, a brand new business.
Uh-huh.
Here is somebody who does not have the money. She may have a dream, or she may have an idea, but how would she go ahead and try and procreate that idea, into an actual business?
Wow.
Without money, let's say. But I've been hearing your Sapne Salamat
right.
a long time. See, it sounds really great for, you know, when you have the money and you are have the venture capitalism and everything else. But let's say that, you know what, you know that people don't have jobs nowadays.
Right.
So if, you know what, I think the best part for this, at any given period of time, you always have an opportunity for everything.
Correct.
So right now, I would say the right opportunity is for people to start their own small businesses so that they can create their own jobs and maybe jobs forever.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Mina, my response back to you is a lot of successful entrepreneurs that we've had come on this show have all started these businesses, have at some point, and I shouldn't say all, many of them at some point have started businesses that they have completely bootstrapped, where they've started with literally zero money. And that's what I've done in my past as well. Is for example, I'll go back to the very first company I started, which was a services company. I started that with $0 into the company, and which is entirely the wealth creation business. And there you go in and you say, I'm going to build a product or a service which is going to be tied to skills that I already possess. And using the skills that I already possess, I will create this product and service, and then I will go out and market this product and service to generate some wealth. And wealth could be $100, or wealth could be $1,000, or wealth could be $10 million. You then use that business, and that's why it's called bootstrapping. And you put that back into the business and say, guess what? Now after that I've created one of these, I'm going to create two of these. Now that I've created two of these, I'm going to create 10 of these. So when we're talking about living out these dreams for these abused women, I think that's a very noble thought, but not everybody is destined to be an entrepreneur. Not everybody is an entrepreneur. And what I'm trying to do with this show as well is help a lot of people become entrepreneurs that are inherently entrepreneurs, but just haven't gotten the opportunity to get there. Does that make any sense at all? Or am I just babbling?
No. What you're saying is very true. But you have to understand that you know, being Indian, I think, gives us an edge, because I think we were born entrepreneurs. There's no doubt about it. We're dealing with various things from when we were in India.
Absolutely.
So I think most Indians, basically, their first inclination is definitely their own business. And I think in your own business, you have the flexibility that you can do things a little bit your way, and you don't have anybody really to answer to except yourself.
Well,
and your success or failure depends upon that.
You know, Mina, we have a very interesting dichotomy from that Indian angle, if you will. That on the one hand, education is number one in our culture, and everybody says education, education, education. And what the education exclusively does is prepares us for a job. On the other mm-hmm. hand, we are culturally very enterprising, because we have to struggle. We come from a country that's very highly overpopulated, and it's a dog-eat-dog world where you have to do so much so as people don't like to stand in lines, because they say, hey, if I stand in line, I may never get a chance. My turn may never come. So people
right.
are already always cutting lines. So it's an interesting dichotomy. And again, for a successful entrepreneur, I think I discovered a quote that I found from somebody else, and somewhere on the web I found this quote and I put it on my Facebook, and I'm going to try recall this from memory. But basically the quote was something about the fact that failure is the privilege of those who dare to try. Think about that for a second. Failure is the privilege of those who dare to try. And again, going back to this cultural reach out that you did, failure is something which is really, really frowned upon in the Indian social circles, and there is a huge stigma associated with any kind of failure. So a lot of people are afraid to become entrepreneurs or jump into pursuing their dreams because of this fear of failure.
See, but Rohit, I'm going to tell you something. I believe in one saying. I don't know if you know that one. Is what Eleanor Roosevelt, she said, one woman with courage is a majority. So I don't agree. So I definitely believe in that philosophy myself. But I would say, you know what, the reason I was really calling is because I'm going to set them up anyway, okay, with their businesses.
Uh-huh.
Because I thought Sapne Salamat really, really gives that spark to people, right, and encourages them that they can dare to fail or dare to try.
Exactly.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
And could you please give me your number loudly so I could speak to you some other time? I don't want to take too much of your show time.
No, that's okay. I am phone. I'm good. No, you got me mumbling here. I am. The number to the studios is 408-912-5565. Hang on. And the way to get a hold of me is be send an email at radio@rohit.com. That's
okay.
R-A-D-I-O at R-O-O-H-I-T.com.
I already highlight, so I know.
Lovely, lovely. So,
okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you for your call. And Sapne Salamat.
Okay, Sapne Salamat. Bye-bye.
Thank you. So that was an interesting call, Seema.
Yeah, it was. And it is true. And you talked of failures. I think Henry Ford had a kind of a massive figure before, like three or four companies that were totally, he got bankrupt and then only he made it.
That's back to that whole famous story of the spider that keeps trying and trying, right?
Right.
Try and try until success will be yours.
Yes. But then it gets very difficult at one point, and especially I agree with the person who called, because I mean, definitely it gets very hard when you do not know where to go and start without money.
Yes.
And even if you can, as you were saying, that initially you have to kind of with bootstrapping and all. But that's why I said launching is easy, but to sustain is very, very difficult. And you do not know where to go and get that money.
No, I think I differ with you on that one, Seema, because I think launching is the hardest part. Once you've launched, then you sort of have some momentum and you're in a trajectory and you're going, because failure is not an option at that point.
I agree, because you've given a lot of yourself to that
exactly.
idea.
Exactly.
But I do think that, I mean, like, you know, till then, initially with that little, okay, you can sacrifice till a bit. But then what next? Then from somewhere, you, as she was mentioning, you do need from where, like, you know, whom to approach. Where do you want to go to find the whether you call it venture capitalist, you can call him angel investor, or just investors. Where do you go and how do you approach
them? How about
them?
The one that you haven't mentioned? It's called customer.
I know.
Well, all right. Before we get too far off our topic for the day, let's come back in and talk about this right after this break.
Do you use Rohit to make highlights?
Yeah.
Why?
Because everything I highlight is automatically saved and clipped for me.
So, what's the benefit?
What's the benefit, you ask? Let me tell you. Everything I highlight is automatically filed for me. So, for example, if I'm doing a search for something using Google or whatever, typically I have to go through several pages. And on each page, there is only a part of the page that I'm interested in. I just highlight the portions of the page that are of interest to me. Rohit automatically, behind the scenes, saves all my highlights for me. I can then just go and see everything in my collection on one page.
That sounds pretty nifty.
Yeah, get this. I can then further cherry pick and combine them. What that does is, it shows me all the underlying pages with highlights as one page.
Wow, okay, I am impressed. How do I sign up? What does it cost?
Ha, get this. It's all free and you don't even have to sign up or fill out any registration forms.
Sweet! Okay, I'm going to go download it right now.
Cool! By the way, thought I'd mention, there is no download requirement either.
This is too good to be true.
Try it. What have you got to lose? Rohit is fabulous.
Highlight the web.
Go Rohit!
Sapne Salama, dosto. Welcome back. We are talking today about how to create an executive summary. Phone number to the studio is 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-KLOK.
So Rohit, you did mention about mock-up and demo, and you said it's difficult to kind of squeeze it into your one-page executive summary. But is there a way, or like what should you do if you would like to add it up? Or
Seema, that's nearly impossible to do, even though I put it there as a bullet. And I think part of the reason I put it there as a bullet as a demo mock-up is because demo mock-up is typically a picture. And a picture is worth 1,000 words. But it's very hard to squeeze a picture in into a one-page document. One of the reasons why I was able to do that is, so one of the company that is my bread and butter is a company called Rohit, right? Which
right.
is a web highlighter. And what I did in my executive summaries,
you just
I put
had to
the
highlight
icon.
It.
I highlighted stuff in there. Two, I put in the icon of a highlighter pen. So the whole idea is, anytime you're looking at a page, you can put article tools that say, you know, print this page or email this page. All I had to do was add an icon for a highlighter, and that demonstrates to people to say that, hey, wait a minute, this page can actually be highlighted.
Right.
So that's sort of a very rare scenario that you'd be able to do that. But typical product service companies would not be able to. What you can, however, do is talk about your technology and how you differentiate yourself, which sort of leads us into the next section on the executive summary, which is, why are you better? What is your marketing strategy and how you will go to market?
Yes, especially because we just talked about customer.
Yes.
And so you must have a marketing strategy if you do not want an angel investor.
Yes. So the whole idea is, you're talking to somebody and you're saying, you know, how am I going to take this out to market? And everybody says, okay, so like the caller just said, she wants to build a vitamin franchise. It's like, okay, great. You want to build a vitamin franchise. By the way, how are you going to promote that vitamin franchise? What is the strategy? At which point she might come in and say, I'm going to send out a postcard to everybody that lives within a 2-mile radius of this. Or she might say, I'm going to go to an event. Or she might say, I'm going to go out and get a brand ambassador. where I don't know who she picks, but she might pick Mr. Muscle Man, Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger, or somebody, and say, you know, I take these vitamins, that's why I'm doing so well. And so essentially it's going to say, what is your marketing strategy? How will the world hear about your existence? She might say, I'm going to do an email marketing campaign where I'm going to blast out 10 million emails to everybody on this planet, and have hopefully some people will click on this link and come back to my website and start buying this. And hopefully some of these people will then start ordering, and I will have a ship and brick and mortar business that's shipping out vitamins.
So what you're trying to say is that a marketing strategy is very much needed today, and it is just having that good product or something is not enough.
Absolutely. Imperative. It's imperative because you know what? You could build the finest thing, but if nobody else ever hears about this finest thing that you've created, what's the point?
Right.
So you have to figure out how to get the word out. If you cannot get the word out, it really doesn't matter. And this is true of any product, technology, business that you're putting together, whether it be the restaurant business, whether it be the vitamin shop, or whether it be a software business, or it be this new search engine company. Remember when Google first came out, how does somebody hear about Google? You have to have somebody that's going out and saying, there is this new search engine that's been created, right? If Google sits by the side and nobody ever talks about it, nobody ever uses it, what's the point? So marketing is absolutely key.
So what do you think is the most essential point after this, once one has identified these key points?
Well, it's not really a matter of identifying, it's a matter of communicating these key points. Going back to the point, this executive summary is one page. And we're spending almost an hour show on this one page, which somebody will look at in probably 1 or 2 minutes, if you're lucky for the most part. And if you're not lucky, probably 15 seconds, because I get executive summaries, I look at it for 15 seconds, and in 15 seconds, I try to make up my mind what I'm going to do with it. And I don't even get that many, because I'm not an active investor, I'm not an angel, I'm not a VC. The angel investors, the VCs, they get literally hundreds, if not thousands of these, and certainly tens of these every week. And the guy has to quickly decide what to do with it.
So how do you...
stand out.
Yes. And how do you... Firstly, how do you find them?
Yeah.
Do you think, are there some online groups you can get associated, or you can go like... is there a group where you...
There's all kinds of stuff online, but I think more importantly, that all leads to more research. And part of what we're trying to do with this show is distill it down to simple facts so people can actually use it directly. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, I will put up a template on our own website that somebody can take a look at and say, this is what should be written like. But the whole idea is, in this one page, you want to demonstrate a lot of different things, not least of which is this whole clarity of thought. And, you know, I look at one page and I can figure out exactly what this company is about.
So we should have revenue projections?
Yes, we should. I want to sort of, before we start running out of time, throw out the phone number to the studios one more time. It's 408-912-5565. That's 408-912-KLOK. We are talking today about how to create an executive summary. And we already talked about the fact that we should have 8 or 9 or 10 different sections in there, which includes the founding team, the opportunity, the market size, the solution, the products, demos/technology. We also want to talk about the marketing strategy. You also want to talk about the competitive landscape. You want to talk numbers. And then you also, first and one of the early things you want to do is talk about the current status. So 408-912-5565. So coming back to your question, Seema, we are talking about competitive landscape, right?
Right.
And I think you created earlier this example of 7 restaurants that are out there. That's your competitive landscape right there.
Mm-hmm.
So again, coming back to this point, I was saying, you know, we need to cover all of these points. But as you'll notice, as we are having this conversation, they all dovetail into each other and they're all interleaved.
Right.
And you get to very quickly cover, in the competitive landscape, you say 7 restaurants in half mile radius. Okay. That immediately tells people what's going on. Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi. My name is Rakesh, and I was actually listening to your program always. And I'm very curious. Like, suppose I have some idea and I don't find angels to, you know, whom I can convince. I wrote many emails, nobody respond. Is there any way to reach to people so that I can convince my ideas and give a business plan?
Yes, Rakesh, there are ways to reach people, but the ways to reach people are through your networks. But I think one of the things I want to sort of mention as part of the show is people in the Valley constantly are saying, I want to raise money. And I said, one of my personal messages to people is, why you don't necessarily need to raise money. Go after a business that you can go and build on your own as well. Okay. Number two, go and network with people that do have that kind of money. So there's all kinds of organizations, business organizations, and talk to people that are successful. If your idea is of merit, if your credentials of merit, these people will look at you, because guess what? They are looking for people like you.
One more thing. Like, I'm like looking to open a solar startup, and all the solar startups need always a big capital investment. It's not like an IT company. That's why the worry is to raise that much amount of money is kind of, you know, nobody really interested to respond back, or I don't know what people are looking for and how I should summarize the business plan or something.
Well, then you're listening to the right show, because that's exactly what this show is about, to create a one-page document that you can take and actually send to somebody else, and where they will look at your credentials and see whether you have the domain expertise. You said you want to create a solar company. What expertise do you have with solar?
Yeah, I'm actually basically doing a lot of process development. I did a lot of R&D and also manufacturing.
Of solar?
And I work here. I don't want to mention the names. Actually, there are a couple of companies I work here initially. I'm the one of the initial guy who developed the process for Solyndra.
Okay.
And also, I work on a couple of different solar companies in the Bay Area.
Excellent. So remember, this executive summary that we're talking about would have a section on founder. That's exactly where you will go in and say, I created this process for Solyndra. Okay?
So, okay.
In 5 or 6 words, you've just communicated to an investor, I created the process for Solyndra. How many words is that? I created the process for Solyndra. 6 words.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, when I am looking at it, I'm saying, wait a minute, here's a guy who's created this process for this really big company. Your credibility in my world has suddenly gone up.
Oh, okay.
And all it took was 6 words. So in this one-page document, you have to communicate why your particular business that you're trying to create is of value. People do not have time. You cannot go out there and say, listen, I can do this because I believe I can do this. You have to give them some kind of evidence to support that. Only then they will be willing to invest. And so you have to give that kind of evidence, and you have to give the kind of evidence to say who else buys into your idea. Are you just by yourself, or are there the people also that are going to work with you? So you will say, team, you'll say, guess what? CEO of Solyndra is going to be the advisor to my company.
Okay.
So you keep building your personal credibility and the credibility of your business.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Keep listening.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
All right. So
we were talking about competitive landscape.
Yes. And I think, again, back to this call, I think competitive landscape, he's talking about building a solar company. He's talked about having done processes of Solyndra's that well might be a competitor to what he's trying to do. I do not know what he's doing. It could be complementary or it could be competitive. So you have to quickly talk about, and this is the piece sort of where it gets a little bit tricky, because we have people that are looking at competitive landscape, and these are early young startup companies. You don't really want to be talking about the competition, because that's the last thing you want to do is you are approaching somebody for money and saying, by the way, guess what? Here are the other 5 people that are in this space. What if these people go and fund one of those guys? That's the last thing you want to see happen. So that's a little bit of a hard thing to do.
So should it be a part of this executive summary, or it should not be a part of it?
It needs to be, but people can apply individual discretion.
Then maybe you have to play around with the words.
Because
you can't do that there.
No, you can't play around with words. I'd say you have to be very forthright and upfront with all of this stuff. But what you can do is you can not keep it in your executive summary, and you can keep it for when and if the investor is interested as part of their due diligence, which might be in the very first meeting, where they'll ask you the question, say, what the competition looks like, and you'll say, this is what the competition looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sapne Salamat, you're live on air.
Hi, Sapne Salamat. This is Dev Bhatia. If you remember me, I called in last couple of shows. I'm a mechanical engineer, and I requested you to invite Mr. Sabir Bhatia sometime. But the reason right now I'm calling, I heard a caller just now interested in solar energy, and that's where my passion is. So how do I connect to this guy particularly? Can I say my phone number?
Yes, you may. We will very happily allow you to plug.
Okay. Okay. My name is Dev Bhatia, and my phone number is 510-471-5051. And I want to tell this speaker that I have been in this Silicon Valley for last 30 years, and very much knowledgeable in the solar industry. And I'm looking forward with some investment.
Okay. So you're looking forward to some investment, as in you are actively looking to invest in solar companies.
Right. And I actually want to be a part and parcel of that company as well. I mean, not only from investment point of view, but I want to contribute technically also.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, I hope he's still listening. I think his name was Rakesh. And I hope Rakesh will give you a call back, because this is exactly what this forum is for.
Okay. Let me say my email address quickly. My email address is D like Dave, and my last name, BHATIA USA@yahoo.com. DBHATIA USA@yahoo.com. And anybody else interested in the solar industry may also please connect with me. My number is 510-471-5051. And thanks for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
I'm glad to have had you on the show, Dave. Quick question. Are you only looking to invest in solar, or are you also open to investing in web or chips technology or some other spaces?
Because I don't have too much knowledge of that, so I can. If somebody supports me or shares with me, you know, if there are possibilities, definitely. But since I'm a mechanical engineer and I'm basically limited to my knowledge, definitely, I'm open to others.
Okay, very good. Well, keep us posted. My email is radio@rohit.com. I'd love to see how this plays out.
Okay, great. Sure, I'll keep on calling. I listen to your radio very religiously on every Saturday.
Well, thank you. I certainly appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. All right, so continuing on, we're talking with Seema, and we're talking about how to create an executive summary and what all needs to go into the sacred document, which is a one-page document, which is the bio data of your company.
And how do we actually explain our business model?
Right. So that's a good question. Business model is essentially where people say, okay, now that you've created this, you identified this opportunity, you've found this great team, you found this market, you've sort of built a solution, or you've come up with a solution, you've got this technology, you've got this product, you've come up with a marketing strategy, you know, you've seen what else is happening out there. Now, by the way, are we going to make money, or how are we going to make money? Because at the end of the day, it's a business that we're talking about. So you said, now that you've looked at all of this stuff, here's how we make money, and that's your business model. So there you will typically devote at least a paragraph, and you'll devote this paragraph to saying that I'm going to make money by selling vitamins online. I'm going to make money by people walking into the store and buying vitamins, and I'm going to make money by holding these events regarding health-related, where people will come and do various things. So this is back to the previous call, or one of the earlier callers about vitamin. Or you could go back to the restaurant business and you say, my business model, very simple. I sell food. I charge $7.99. My cost of goods is $4, including service, it's so-and-so. My profit margin is 37%. So that's where you get into a lot of numbers. Now, remember, this is a one-page document, so you don't have to get into all of your assumptions. You don't have to explain all of that out. So you'll basically build up an Excel sheet for yourself where you're going to say, okay, I'm going to pay my cook $2,000 a month. I'm going to pay the busboy $3,000, or the other way around. Busboy $2,000 a month. I'm going to pay my cook $3,000 a month. I'm going to pay my wait staff $1,200 a month, blah, blah, blah. And you sort of build up an entire cost structure, and you make projections to say, okay, these are the number of things I'm going to sell. This is the number of footfall I will have. These are so which is saying that, okay, I'll have, I don't know, 1,000 people coming into my restaurant in over a period of 1 week. On an average, each guy will spend $8. So I'm going to have $8,000 in revenue. Out of this, my cost is going to be this. My rent is going to cost me this much. And you work it up, and you come up with a final number, which is your sum total line, if you will. And for the purposes of this one-page executive summary, that final number is what you will throw in there. But it tells an investor or somebody else that's looking at it saying that, okay, this guy has done his homework. Now, if this investor has a question or wants to question or wants to understand it a little bit more, he can have a meeting with you and say, Jeeves, show me how did you come up with these numbers. And that's where you have to present the details.
But these numbers will on this paper will have to be very optimistic. On which end of the spectrum?
The realistic.
The average?
Realistic.
Or the...
The realistic, what you believe is realistic. Because depending upon the kind, what investors will typically do is, founders are optimistic. And there will be a huge piece of what the founders put in which will get discounted by an investor. He says, you know what? Why do people build companies? Because they're optimistic, because they're passionate, because they believe they can do it. And people on the other side are skeptics, saying, nah, he can't do it, it won't work. So they will discount some component of it. So you have to go in with a very, very realistic number and be prepared that somebody that's reading it will still discount a certain portion of it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, phone number to studios is 408-912-5565. My name is Rohit Chandra. We are talking today about how to create an executive summary, a one-page bio data for your company. What are the various sections that need to go in there and how to present your company?
And do we also have some kind of feedback section in that?
No, we wouldn't not necessarily have a feedback section. So in fact, what you do is when you're putting your numbers together, if you're a technology company, you'll still talk about your exit scenario in terms of saying if somebody puts money into this company, how will this get his money back? We just say, okay, my company is going to get acquired, or my company is going to go public, or some other event is going to happen where I will basically go out and get your money. Or you say the company becomes so wildly profitable that I'm going to buy your shares back, which is sort of uncommon, unusual, or almost unheard of exit scenario, but it's an exit scenario nonetheless. So you have to put that in there because the guy says, you know, I'm going to put this money in. At some point, I need to be able to take it out. Right? If I'm not able to take it out and it just gets stuck in there, what's the value to me?
Right.
So which is why part of the reason why companies go public. I mean, part of the reason. I won't get into the more details of all of that. But the whole idea is, I invest $100,000 into a company, becomes a fantastic company, keeps growing. If I can never take that money back out, if I can never get a return on it, what's the point? For as far as I'm concerned, that company could have died. And that's what's called an exit.
Right.
So you have to have some kind of an exit for that. So that is what I would see go into an executive summary. What I would also say is, if you're doing this as a PowerPoint presentation, now the same template can be used to build a PowerPoint presentation for an investor pitch, if you will. And there at the end, I would say reactions, feedback to say, you know, folks, tell me what you thought of my idea. Tell me what you thought of this business. Tell me what your gut reaction. Because a lot of these people have seen a lot of businesses through the doors. They may not be experts, but they've seen a lot of other experts come in through the door.
But this summary, let's say you've created. Now, who do you present it to? Now, again, we come back to the main question. Where do you find these people who are going to look at it? Where do you find, how do you approach the investors? How do you find them?
You come on to shows like this, like we saw happen a few minutes ago. The caller called in. He said, I'm looking for somebody. And we had another caller who called and said, guess what? I'm actually an investor in Solar.
Right.
So you have to get your name out there. You can always reach us on radio@rohit.com. And that's kind of what I said, get a lot of these. And
In San Francisco Bay Area, do you know if there's some organizations or there's some kind of groups that are already doing this or you could get connected to?
Yes, there are a large number of, there's several groups that are doing this. These are called angel groups. So there's the Angels Forum that Carol Sands runs.
So do you know of any forum that you would like to tell us about?
I can mention a couple. One is called the Angels Forum. Mm-hmm. Carol Sands runs that out of Palo Alto, Menlo Park area. She's a good friend of mine, actually. In fact, she invested in one of my prior companies, and this is a group of angels. There's also a group called Band of Angels, and there's a woman called, I want to say Corrine, I'm forgetting her name, and she's the person who runs that. But essentially, to get involved with any of these groups, you go out and approach them, and they're going to say, please send us an executive summary. And they will take executive summaries from people that they've never heard of.
Right.
But guess why we're talking about this executive summary? Because this is going to be your one chance to stand out from the crowd and say, my business is a credible business. My business is one that's going to fly. My business is not one of the 99 that you're going to reject. And that's why I want my listeners to look at this and understand this executive summary and go out and build an executive summary that will help them be able to sell their companies out to the investment community.
And these days, we see so many advertisements where they're doing they coach the entrepreneurs. Are they really, one should fall or approach these kind of people?
You know, I have not been exposed to those. I certainly think that it's a good idea to coach entrepreneurs because a lot of people don't know what it takes.
Because they charge around $5,000 and has numbers like $3,000.
Maybe I should start one of those. What am I doing this not for profit? So, no, I think it's an interesting, fascinating thought, but $5,000 is a lot of money. I would much rather see that invested into the business than to somebody that's giving you consulting services. But then having said that, if you can learn from $5,000, and you can actually go out and build a real business. So there's some value there. I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is, Seema.
Okay.
I wish I did. I haven't looked at what these opportunities are.
So would you like to wrap up this and give the bullet points one more time?
Yes, I would like to give the bullet points one more time. And I also want to mention a couple of things that, folks, we have a couple of sponsors. We certainly really would appreciate if you would support our sponsors because a lot of the show is possible thanks to their kind support. And We've got a new sponsor that's joining us this week, and he says, you know, are you having a hard time making mortgage payments, or are you behind on your mortgage payments? So if you want to avoid foreclosure and if you want to save your credit, you can get a free consultation from one of our sponsors, and his name is Sean. Sean is with Geo Realty, and you can reach Sean at GeoRealtyUSA.com. You can also reach Sean on his cell phone, which is 209-603-3737. And this is Sean will help you with any of your real estate needs. We also have an old and actually a fantastic supporter to the show in the name of Vinu Prasher. Vinu is a seasoned professional who's got several years of experience with startups and with growing companies. So for entrepreneurs that are out there that are listening to the show, folks, I highly encourage you to go and talk to Vinu. She's been providing CFO and controller services. She's been including forecasts. She's been doing management reporting. She's been helping people put together business plans, valuations, internal processes, and controls. And she's sort of taken companies from the entire life cycle from incorporation to exit. So Vinu is really somebody who will be a business partner, will be providing quality, integrity, and trust. And she's doing all of this at a great value. So I would highly encourage folks, please go out and support our sponsors. That's how we're able to keep this show alive. Of course, we also have sponsors in my own company called Rohit. So if you're ever looking to share a web page with somebody, folks, please go ahead and highlight the web page before you send it on so that somebody on the receiving end can actually see what it is that you're talking about. Anyways, so much for sponsors, and we have only about a minute left before we have to wrap up. So feel free to, folks, you can reach me at radio@rohit.com. Website for the show is rohit.com/radio. We are looking for interns. You can again reach us on radio@rohit.com. We're looking for interns to help with the radio show, and we're looking for interns that do web technologies. Quick wrap-up, Seemat. Executive summary should have a section on current status of where the company is at. It should have a section on the founder, the team, the profile, the advisors. It should have a section on opportunity, a section on market, a section on solution, which is your solution or the product that you're building, a section on the demo mock-up technology, and a section about differentiating factors in terms of why you're better, what your marketing strategy is, and how you're going to go to market. We're going to talk about the competitive landscape and numbers exit and in terms of how you can actually exit from your business.
Thank you so much, Rohit. It was really great coming on Sapne Salamat.
Thank you. Sapne Salamat, folks.
Thank you for listening to KLOK 1170 AM, the Bay Area's new international community radio station. If